Welcome to the .NET Framework. In this learning activity, you'll be introduced to the .NET Framework, learn what problems it solves, and understand how it came to be. What is a framework? Software developers who have used someone else's code in their own projects. Know what a library is. A library is a set of code that can be reused in many projects. A framework is a library, or a set of libraries, with distinct parts that you can customize to your own liking. Typically, a framework contains generic parts that can be specialized, which makes it even more powerful than a standard library. Before we can appreciate what the .NET Framework is and how it makes our lives better, we need to go back to the dark days before .NET Framework existed. Let me do that again. Before we can appreciate what the .NET Framework is and how it makes our lives better, we need to go back to the dark days before the .NET Framework existed. Believe it or not, early versions of Windows crashed all the time. Windows was created during the days of 16-bit processors, and the amount of memory, or RAM, to which each processor had access was limited. Microsoft engineers came up with a way to share code, in memory, between applications. This early shared library was called the Dynamic Link Library, or DLL. Because memory was so scarce, DLL files were designed to be loaded into memory and shared between applications. Common code could now be called from many apps. Sharing code was great for saving on memory, but it wasn't great for system stability. If one application crashed a shared DLL, which was a regular occurrence when programmers managed their own memory, all the other apps that accessed it crashed as well. Over the years, numerous attempts were made to fix this problem, but it wasn't until Microsoft released Windows NT in 1993 that things started to get better. Windows NT took advantage of the brandy new Windows NT took advantage of the brand new 32-bit processor's flat memory addressing features to completely isolate one application from the next. NT did this by introducing the idea of a process. A popular analogy explains RAM as the desktop in your office. You take your notebooks, or files, out of the file folders, directories, in your drawers, hard drive, and put them on your desktop, which is RAM. All of the desk drawers make up the desk, or the storage system. The bigger your desktop is, the more notebooks it can hold. You have to put a notebook on your desk before you can use it, and you must have a big desk to work on lots of projects at the same time. Naturally, files in memory are organized into applications, which you can think of as groups of notebooks all working together to do something amazing, like editing a document or printing a picture. But what's to stop one notebook from changing stuff in a totally unrelated notebook? Sharing code between applications is a bad idea when they all occupy the same desk. How do we fix this? How do we fix this? We build each application a little house with a lock on the door that won't allow data to flow into or out from. I think we need to change that to in or out. To or out from. That's okay. How do we fix this? We build each application a little house with a lock on the door that won't allow data to flow into or out from any other application. No. In from or out to is what we need. With a lock on the door that won't allow data to flow in from or out to any other application. As long as we have enough RAM to handle it, these locked houses keep applications from changing code used in other applications. A process is a memory space where one and only one application runs. Its memory is protected. There's a lock on the door. Code inside the process can't access memory outside it, and code outside the process can't get in. And code outside the process can't get in. Of course, there are ways to get around this, but you have to specifically request access, and it's not easy. The purpose of the process is to keep accidental crashes to a minimum. So while the shareability aspect of the DLL took a real backseat in Windows X, the DLL continues to persist today. Sharing code happens now by implementing reusable components that are only shared on disk, and even this sharing is just an option. Think about writing two apps that both need to play an MP3 file. Each app is in its own process space, and each loads a copy of a component that plays MP3s. Now the focus is on making these components easy to program against, not against them, and not on them being shared in memory. COM and the registry. Along with Windows NT, Microsoft released the Component Object Model, or COM, which was supposed to simplify access. Hang on. Along with Windows NT, Microsoft released the Component Object Model, or COM, which was supposed to simplify access to shared components. COM uses the registry, a system-wide database used to keep track of all COM components in your system. The trouble with this registry is Microsoft left it up to programmers to correctly register and unregister their components when installing software. You may have heard the term DLL hell. This happened when the registered version of a component wasn't the same as the component version actually on the disk. This was a very difficult problem to fix. These days, Microsoft has a better handle on the registry because most modern software no longer uses it. In-process problems. Even though we have this nice process for our apps, we're still prone to problems that happen within the process, such as memory leaks. A memory leak happens when an app allocates memory for available. A memory leak happens when an app allocates memory for a variable, the simplification, but doesn't deallocate the memory when it's done using it. Variables can't just be pulled out of thin air. Your code must tell Windows it plans on using a certain amount of memory. Then Windows knows not to give that designated memory away to some other variable inside the process. Likewise, if you never tell Windows you're done using that memory, it'll just keep using more and more memory and never reuse that designated memory. Another in-process problem is how to handle errors, called exceptions. Without a standard and easy way to handle exceptions, you have to write loads. Lots of error handling code yourself. Enter the .NET framework. The beta for the .NET framework was introduced in late 2000. The idea was to provide a sort of process within a process for your application. Just as a process protects your application from other applications, the .NET framework protects you. The .NET framework protects you, the programmer, from all the problems that can happen inside the process, including memory leaks and exceptions. Memory leaks, however, are just the tip of the iceberg. Common language runtime. The .NET framework, which I'll refer to as .NET, creates a virtual machine, or VM, called the Common Language Runtime, or CLR, inside of the process. The .NET framework, which I'll refer to as .NET, The .NET framework, which I'll refer to as .NET, creates a virtual machine. Your code runs inside this VM. By having this layer of abstraction, .NET can do many wonderful things and has the following features. No pointers. Memory is managed and not accessed directly. No explicit memory deallocation is required. A common type system defines integers, doubles, strings, etc. Exceptions can be handled by wrapping code that might fail in a try-catch block. An intermediate compile step allows many different languages to be used. Common access to and simplifying of asynchronous programming or multi-threading. Base class library. Along with the CLR, .NET provides a base class library, or BCL, containing hundreds of components that you can use in any .NET app. These are laid out in a hierarchy of namespaces, a bit of syntactic sugar that makes it easy to organize code. For example, system.io is a namespace containing objects and methods that give you access to the file system. System.net is a namespace with code that accesses the network. We call this plumbing code, because just as plumbing is required for your house to work, this code is required for higher-level functions to work, and we don't want to spend a lot of time writing it ourselves. Summary. The .NET framework gives you a rich environment in which to write and run robust applications. It is made up of the Common Language Runtime, CLR, and the Base Class Library. Let me say it again. It is made up of the Common Language Runtime. It is made up of the Common Language Runtime and the Base Class Library. The CLR provides a virtual machine within your process that shields your code from the rigors of Windows and makes your code more stable. The Base Class Library provides a large suite of plumbing code in the form of reusable components and linguistic objects, which make you a more productive developer. You have completed the .NET framework.